Have you ever, ever met the Queen in person? Anyone? I did. Our family did. Think about that. Let me tell you the story. The year was 2010, so it has been a while ago. Our family was still living in Ontario, obviously, and we were planning for a getaway to Ottawa, you know, the national capital, over the Canada Day long weekend. And we found that during our planning, the Queen will be there as well in that particular weekend. So we adjust some of our itinerary, and then with one new goal, we want to see the Queen. Okay, and here's what we did. We booked the Courtyard Marriott, which is a hotel, which is right at the downtown of the heart of downtown Ottawa, just steps away from the Parliament Hill. When July the 1st came, we rise up early in the morning. We just took some quick breakfast, and then we started our pilgrimage, basically. So we walk, so we don't have to drive at all. And thank God, we find a great spot, almost the perfect spot for five of us. If you can see, well, there's a baby under the umbrella, but you know, we're hiding. It is the real picture. Yeah, you can tell. It's on. I even Google the spot. It's called the Mackenzie Avenue. Okay. Well, you probably haven't been there, but it's okay. This is the art gallery thing. If you know a little bit about Ottawa, and we know that the Queen procession will be passing by there. Okay. Although it was a hot summer, you know, July, right? July day, you know, in Ontario, much hotter. Although we were having a three-month-old baby, actually, you know, that baby hiding was only 3 months old. We had no complaint. We were just waiting and waiting, right? Finally, the moment came. We saw the RCMP horses passing by, but we are not really interested about them, right, for that day. Usually you will be excited, RCMP, you know, the full gear, right? Because what come next is the focus. Then came the Queen's carriage. I took this picture, okay? It's not just Google, okay? With the Queen and the Prince Philip, we all know them well, right? Sitting together right in front of our very eye. Wow, I can still remember that moment. Even though it was already, 13 years ago? As I look back in the whole experience, we knew that seeing the Queen and Prince Philip was not by chance. We did our homework. A lot, right? We knew the exact day that the Queen will be in Ottawa. We knew the exact hour that she will be at Parliament Hill on that Mackenzie Drive or Mackenzie Avenue. And we knew exactly where to wait on the road. Like many in the crowd, we were prepared. We were waiting in expectation because of one single reason, which is we want to see the Queen, right? Okay, so much about the Queen. If you don't like royal family, it's okay. I won't keep on, you know, it's only a 3-minute thing, introduction. But let's think about our own experience of coming to this place to meet the King of Kings. On any given Saturday, how often do we come to worship with preparation? How often do we come here with expectation? Think about that, you know, reflect about that. As we are planning the sermons, this sermon series called All In, we are asking, what is the biggest problem in church worship today, you know, including Koinonia? And one of the sad answers our team came out with that we come to worship as though God is not here. We come here as though God is not here. We can go through all the motion, we can go through all the actions, but at the end of the day, we simply don't know that we are coming into the so-called the presence of God. That's the problem. And when we depart, when we are leaving at, what, 7 o'clock, or maybe after supper, 7:30, or maybe after oikos, 9:30, nothing changed. We are still the same person when we came at 6 o'clock, or 5:30, or something like that. So my question to you, and also to myself tonight, is that how come we were much more prepared to see the Queen than coming to see the King of Kings? How come we were much more prepared to see the Queen or any, you know, famous person than seeing the King of Kings? For the past 2 weeks, we have been exploring different aspects about worship, about true worship. For the first week, Pastor Carson touched on the place of worship. I'm sure you still remember, right? McDonald's or Pro Castle, right? The significance of a place is determined by the significance of the person there. I won't go into all the story. You probably still remember, right? And worship is indeed an encounter with the living God. And last week, Pastor Cindy started, I'm sure you remember, what's the story? That Blackpink, right? Yeah, the concert story. And then she reminded us that worship is an active act which engages our heart, our soul, and also our body as well. So today we want to explore if we are called to be an active participant in worship. How can we come to worship with a prepared and an expecting heart? How can we come Saturday, 6 o'clock, how can we come more prepared and also in a more expecting heart? Last week, we looked at the life of David, King David, in the early part of his life, in 2 Samuel chapter 6, when an ark of God is brought back to the city of David. David danced before the Lord with all his might. You still remember the story, right? This incident took place in a quite an early part of David's life when he was just anointed as the king of Israel. For this evening, let's travel all the way forward, fast forward from 2 Samuel to the book of 1 Chronicles, which is also in Old Testament. The last chapter of 1 Chronicles, chapter 29, when David was approaching almost as his last chapter or last hour of his life. And we want to explore David's last act of worship. His last act of worship. And after all the ups and downs in life, after all the big and small accomplishments, after all the challenges he faced as the king of Israel, let's learn how David worshiped at the very last chapter of his life. Okay, and before we enter chapter 29, let me give you just a bit of background as the king enter his last chapter. When David approached the end of his life, he had only one final wish. I'm sure, you know, we all make, you know, different wishes, right? But this one is his final wish. Not to build more palaces. Well, he probably have enough. Not to build a monument so that people will honor him, like King David, right? He doesn't need that anymore. But he wants to build a house for God. Interesting. Well, in our term, a temple for God, right? So at the beginning of chapter 28, King David rose to his feet and said, "Hear me, my brothers and my people. I had it in my heart to build a house of rest for the Ark of the Covenant of Lord and for the footstool of our God. And I make preparation for building. But God said to me, 'You may not build a house for my name, for you are men of war and have shed blood.'" And then in verse 6 is that, he said to me, "It is Solomon, your son, who shall build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son," God said, "and I will be his father." Talking about building a temple, it was never a small project, right? You know, think about, you know, all the projects you had in high school, you know. Those could be complicated, but think about building a temple. It's much bigger. It's much more complex. So that's why, let's take a quick look at what was needed. So let's trace back a little bit from chapter 22 to 28, which is a lot, but don't worry, I won't spend a lot of time. Let's take a quick look of what happened. In chapter 22, all kinds of building materials were prepared. In chapter 23, David organized the Levites, which is one of the religious group in Israel, so they need to prepare to serve. And then chapter 24, the priests were ready. And then chapter 25, all the musician, you know, like what we have, for sure is a different kind of instrument, was organized. And then the gatekeeper and treasurer in chapter 26. Can you imagine how big, you know, well, it is only a few chapters there, but just imagine how big the project was. Just imagine if David is in our time, how many trips he need to go to IKEA, go to Canadian Tire or Rona or whatever, you know, to buy all the stuff, you know, to get ready to build a temple, right? Probably it would take years. And it was not just the hardware, you know, the building materials, but the people. He need to find the right people to do the right thing at the right time as well. Well, that's huge. It is huge. And then chapter 29 came. King David appealed to the people. Who then will offer willingly, consecrating himself today to the Lord? Then the leaders of the of fathers' houses make their freewill offerings, as did also the leaders of the tribes, the commanders of thousands and of hundreds, and the officers over the kings. With a lot of people there involved, right? And then in verse 9 it says, then the people rejoice because they had given willingly. For with the whole heart they had offered freely to the Lord. And King David also rejoiced greatly. So there's a lot of offering and giving involved as they are finishing this project. So after all these actions, at the end of the book, chapter 29, verse 10, David led the people to pray and to worship God. And let's see what constitutes David's last act of worship. The last act of worship. When he start praying, David actually started with a doxology. You know what's a doxology? In an expression of praise to God. David blessed the Lord in the presence of all the assembly. And then David said, blessed are you, O Lord, verse 10, the God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. See all the big words there, right? For all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Verse 12. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand are power and might, and in your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. See, there's a lot of praises going on. Well, we can unpack each word, but I'm not going to do that. But you can feel that, wow, this is David is not just asking God more things, right? He's praising God. And after this series of praises, David continued to worship God with thanksgiving. Verse 13, and now we thank you, our God, and praise your glorious name. And then David recalled about all the donations for the temple building. Verse 14, but who am I? See, David is not giving a lecture. He is still praying, right? But who am I, David said, and what is my people that we should be able thus to offer willingly? For all things come from you, and of your own have we given you. Verse 16, O Lord our God, all this abundance that we have provided for building you a house. Yeah, donating different things, right? For your holy name comes from your hand and is all your own. From David's last act of worship, we don't see any boasting or any bragging about how much he had accomplished, you know, as the king of Israel. As David looked back, he did not forget who is behind all the accomplishment in his life. He acknowledged that what he had accomplished, behind that, everything is from God, right? Come from you, of your own, come from your hand, or your own. And his last act of worship, David demonstrated one thing, what it means to worship with a thankful heart. What does it mean to worship with gratitude? Yes, King David's last act of worship is about showing thankfulness, showing gratitude to God, about who God is and what he has done in his own life and also the destiny of the Israel nation. So gratitude is one of the key elements and key reason why we gather here every Saturday at 6 p.m. While excellent music, I think we have, and good sermon sometimes, or even tasty meals or refreshment may add to our experience of worship, none of them are ultimately the reason of our worship. The reason for and energy behind our worship is about knowing who God is and also what he has done in our life. So worship is about remembering what God has done and expressing our gratitude to God in tangible ways. Worship is about remembering what God has done and expressing our gratitude to God in tangible ways. So worship is gratitude expressed in joy. Worship is gratitude expressed in praise. Worship is gratitude expressed as we offer our money, as we donate. And worship is gratitude expressed in service to others, as we serve others as well. As we are called to be an active participant in worship, let's come to worship with a thankful heart. Let's come to worship with a prepared heart. Let's come to worship with an expecting heart. And talking about expressing gratitude, I remember a special exercise I did at a winter retreat. After the first evening session, the speaker invited us to find a corner at the retreat center to quiet down and reflect. We are told to draw out a timeline from age zero all the way until that point. I forgot how old I was, maybe 30 years old or something. We are told that to write down names. We want to say thank you in our life to those people in our life. And we just spend time, I forgot how long, maybe an hour or so. So we think about names. At the beginning, I wasn't sure if I have much to write down, right? Names, I don't know much. But as I sat down, actually, name just came out one after another. The first name I wrote down is my grandma. Even though she passed away quite early, I'm forever grateful for her in taking care of me when I was really young. I won't have time to go to all the details, right? And then it come to my elementary years in Hong Kong. I wrote down the name of my teacher in grade 5 to 6. He taught me a lot about Chinese languages. You know, I was really amazed about that. And he was also the leader of the Boy Scout, you know. And that's why at that time, I was maybe 10 years old, 11, he was my hero. And then I wrote down the name of Miss O'Connell. Miss O'Connell. Who is she? She is my high school guidance counselor. When I first came to Canada at grade 11, I'm forever grateful about her because without her, I'm sure my first year will be much, much more difficult. Can you imagine the first time in a public school, grade 11, learning English? A lot of challenges, but she was really God's gift to me at the time. To make the story short, let me share about the past decade. In 2014, some of us may have heard about that before, my life had an unexpected turn. God led me and my family to relocate from Toronto all the way to Vancouver. And since we arrived in Vancouver, my life story has been connected to the story, a bigger story of Koinonia. So for the past 9 years, God gave me an opportunity to witness how Koinonia has grown. From a much smaller church of around 200 to now, I think we have around 700 altogether. I'm thankful as I have witnessed the beginning of Acts worship in 2014. Anyone was there? 2014 has been a while. I'm thankful as I have witnessed the birth of Acts Fellowship. Anyone still remember that name? It took me a while to remember. Hey, what is it called? I thought it was called Youth Fellowship. Actually, it's called Acts Fellowship, October 2016. I'm thankful as I've witnessed the launching of English worship, similar to what we are doing now, but way back in Richmond High in summer 2017. And I have also been in those challenging hours in the year 2019 when we were not allowed to worship in large gym nor the small gym in Richmond High. If you still remember how challenging that summer was. And needless to say, I've also witnessed about the COVID lockdown. I'm sure many of us a little bit closer now, when all our in-person gatherings were canceled, you know, exactly 3 years ago this month, right? You remember March, the year 2020. As I come to worship at Fraserville, I always remember what the Lord has done in my life, in the life of my family, and also at Koinonia as well. Worship is about remembering what the Lord has done and expressing gratitude to God in tangible ways, in joy, in praise, in offering, and also in service to others. If we are called to be an active participant in worship, how can we come to worship with a prepared and expected heart? How can we come to worship with a thankful heart? In the last few minutes, let me share with you one simple weekly exercise called Take Five. As you finish school or work on Friday, any Friday, all you need to do is to take a 5 minute on a Friday evening to reflect on what you are thankful for God for the past week. I think Friday is a good time, right? Before you come to church, and Friday usually you are more relaxed, so look back. But you know what? But maybe you have too many things already, right? So this is what I did to help me remember. I will turn on my phone, and I'm also a more a visual memory person, right? Take a look at some of the photos I took for the past week. Sometimes I like to take photos or whatever capacity, right? Take a look at the photos, and then maybe it will remind you some of the good things that you experienced. And after the reflection, the next thing is to prepare a journal. I bought my journal or a notebook to write down those few things that you are thankful for. Just a reminder, never use a piece of napkins because you will put it somewhere else, okay? Buy a notebook, maybe even a good notebook. Doesn't have to be expensive, you know, go to Momo or somewhere. A good notebook. It can be the same notebook that you are using now to take notes for sermon as well. And finally, okay, you take five, right? You write it down, and on Saturday evening, you enter the gate with thanksgiving, right? That's what the psalm said. Bring the notebook along with you to church. Bring it, something physical, bring it. And when you sing praise to God, you know, usually we have at least two songs, sometimes three songs at the beginning, right? As we sing together, remember what you wrote. And give thanks to God for those small things or big things in life that God has done in the past week. So I hope that next Friday, you can even put a reminder in your calendar, you know, to remind you Friday 8 o'clock, okay, or something like that, right? Give thanks, okay, or take five. Just write down, take five. So that by next Saturday, as you come here, you will bring yourself and also with a thankful heart, and you can enter the gate with thanksgiving. So worship is about remembering what God has done and expressing our gratitude to God in tangible ways. May God help us to become true worshiper as we enter the gate with gratitude and thanksgiving. Let's stand together and let's spend a moment of quiet, and then we'll pray together, shall we? Dear God, as we are reflecting David's story, his last act of worship, Lord, we are amazed how he praised you and giving thanks to you instead of asking you more. But Lord, sometimes we know that when we come to worship on Saturday, we are unprepared. We were not focused. So Lord, forgive us for the lack of preparation and the lack of expectation when we come to worship. So Lord, in this evening, help us. Help us to remember what you have done in our life and also in the life, the story of Koinonia. And help us be bold in expressing our gratitude to you as we praise together, as we serve each other. Lord, help us to be bold in expressing our gratitude. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.